you today. Give them 5 minutes at WDW today. When you are in trouble, you'll find WDW today.
Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this is the live show for December 2011 of WW Today. And this live show is being sponsored by, well, touringplans.com. Touringplans.com has the tools, resources, information to help you navigate around Walt Disney World, see everything you want to see, and not wait in line. That's why touringplans.com has touring plans, crowd calendars, helpful tools, and a great blog, and a lot more information for you to check out and help you make your next trip to Walt Disney World that much better. Check them out right now at touringplans.com. And it is Sunday, December 18th, 2011. This is, the December live show of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
Just as soon as I find a ladder, I'll be right up.
Wow.
Sounds dangerous.
Wow.
No.
Let me just read it again. Just as soon as I find a ladder, I'll be right.
Country
Bear Jim Brewer.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you sound disappointed in that.
Yeah. Wah, wah. No, I'm happy for you, Len. But
Mike wanted to fill up more showtime.
I was going Splash Mountain with that accent.
Yeah. So I was thinking,
that's what I thought too. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Welcome to the WDW Today Christmas office party. Woo!
Is this the part where I'm supposed to be Xeroxing my butt on the cover machine?
Get that mistletoe out of here.
Fine.
Also joining us on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Adventure Guide to Walt Disney World. Welcome to the show, Len.
Let's go, Matt. Matt, I can't believe that this is it. We're down to like the last 40 shows, and that's the end of it.
That's it, man. Thank God. I'm so done with this thing.
Dude, that's harsh, man. But
yeah,
you know, what are we going to do every Sunday?
Sleep.
Thursday.
That's right.
I hear there's a lot of cool new TV shows on that I've never seen.
TV is so 1999.
Maybe, but
I hear there's color now.
Yeah, they're singing and dancing. It's a lot of fluff, but I predicted the day. Millions of...
Please remain seated throughout the show.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to listening to this guy, John Cameron Patrick Swayze.
Exactly.
Hey, it's just a fad, I tell you. I made 50 musicals before, and I'm like 50 more.
Well, gee, Mr. Kent, that'll be swell.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and we are live here on our December 2011 WDW Today live show. And, of course, many of our WDW Today listeners were recently with us in Walt Disney World for a reunion 2011, which I got to say, guys, I think was a huge success. I spoke to a lot of you and said this earlier. I think this was the best reunion I've been to in terms of just the amount of fun I've had and the people that were there. I really had an amazing time there.
It was certainly the largest.
Yeah, great crowd.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And of course, we want to thank our travel partners, MEI and Mousetown Travel, for helping us make Reunion 2011 happen. We had a great time. I think everyone just really had a great time there. I know a lot of people in the chat room, at our WDW Today chat room, were talking about it earlier. And of course, you can join us in our chat room. It's live.wdwtoday.com. Be sure you're in there. It makes the live a lot more fun. It's interactive. You get to share some opinions with us. We're in there. We get to get some good information there. So, absolutely.
Was there any major arrests during this mass?
No, I mean, you got yelled at a couple times in Carousel Progress, but I think it was pretty legal.
That was pretty close, though, Len. That was getting really, iffy there.
Yeah, that was actually, towards the end, he got kind of snippy, but,
He started calling you by name.
I know, Len.
Actually, Becky Menken, who's in our chat room, she mentioned, Newell, we never got to do the Waffle House meme, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure she's upset about that.
That's why more people weren't sick.
I don't know, man. I had like the worst cold coming back. Jeez. It was bad.
Well, we got our first call of the evening. Let's get things started with our first call. And who's on the line with us this evening?
Hi, this is Heather.
Hey, Heather.
Heather. Heather from Sheboygan.
That's pretty close.
Go ahead.
I just had two questions, sort of. I am traveling to Disney World in February with my grandmother, my mother, and my five-year-old son. We will be there the week of Valentine's Day. And the first question I had was if Disney World did anything kind of special for Valentine's Day. And obviously not like uber romantic because it's all my mother and my son. And the second question is what kind of activities they do for Black History Month.
Ooh, good question. Black History Month. I'm not sure about Valentine's Day. Let me look up Black History Month.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with anything they've done that I can think of. For Valentine's Day, I know Mother's Day and stuff like that, they give out roses. I want to say they've done that. I've like been on the studios like on a Sunday during Valentine's Day, and they've handed out roses to the women who enter. But that I might be confusing that with Mother's Day, which I know for a fact they do, where they give out flowers to the women that enter. But I'm not sure. I do know one thing they do for Valentine's Day is they have some restaurants have a special menu. And I would recommend if you want to see what they've done in the past, because I don't think there's any information for 2011 up yet, or 2012 rather. Check out our friends at DisneyFoodBlog.com. I think they have some old menus you can take a look at in terms of the offerings for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
In terms of Black History Month, according to the book, there are displays, arts and crafts, storytellers, and entertainers. No charge for the activities, and it's month long. Also, the effect on crowds is negligible. Yeah, let me see if I can find something interesting
throughout
here.
The park.
Yeah, let me see here. I see stuff. If I Google stuff, I see Disneyland. I don't see anything on World right off the top of my head. The marketplace is supposed to have stuff. That's the only thing I can see in Google real quick. But I'm sure there's stuff. It just hasn't got a lot of play.
Okay.
And there's also for Valentine's Day, there's also some merchandise that will be available for you to purchase as well. Of course, naturally.
Naturally. Alrighty, thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, have a good week. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Heather.
407-278-5939, our phone number to call in for our live show. And I mentioned earlier our chat room. So, you know, if you're just listening to the live show, you're not getting the whole experience. It's a lot more fun to be in that chat room, be a part of it, share some stories or your own opinions. And when people call in, share your opinion in the chat room. We like reading them. And a lot of times we will read directly from the chat room what people are saying. So, you know, it's your opportunity to really help us out and be a part of WWE Today. And, of course, all the you're listening, I'm assuming. So you already know about that. But you can watch a live video, join our chat room. All at live.wdwtoday.com.
In fact, Matt, if you look at my video, I don't know if you have it up yet.
Let me switch to you, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
There's the famous Old Key West Christmas tree that made it back to New York.
Ooh.
You see it? Isn't it lovely?
Yeah, so, that's the tree, Mike, you mentioned in an earlier episode that you bought from
Target.
What was it?
No, I bought it online from a Christmas tree place. A Christmas tree harvester, if you will, and they cut it and shipped it the same day, and it was at Old Key West when I checked in, and it made the trip home, and it's in my little studio here. So
that is beautiful.
So there it is. It exists this year because people thought I was kidding. They thought I was making that up, but no, I always get a tree every year.
Can we ask you how much that was, Mike?
With shipping, it was about $40-something.
Not bad.
No,
wow.
It's mostly for fun, and it lasted the trip home, so I have a, I'll have it until after Thanksgiving, after New Year's Eve. So it made its way, and it lived to tell a tale of another reunion.
Nice. Well, we have our next call on the line with us. Hi, who's on the line with us?
Hello.
Hi.
This is JD from Texas.
Hey, JD.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
Very merry.
Awesome.
So, JD, before you get started, quick question for you. I've discovered I have 10, count them 10, cans of expired soup in my pantry. What do I do with them?
Throw them out.
No. Feed the homeless. Something like that, Judy. Give me something to do that doesn't waste them.
Then the homeless would be lifeless.
The homeless might make them sick, though.
Yeah, there's that.
They
okay.
won't be homeless
all right.
Anymore.
All right. Well, okay. Maybe.
Well, you could take them out into a field and shoot them.
That's a homeless.
Yeah, well, target practice. I like this idea.
Why would you do that to homeless?
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I have a question and an opinion.
Yes. Go ahead.
My question is, what's your favorite restaurant?
Ooh. Counter service, sit down, signature.
Sit down.
Sit down. Wow. What are you in the mood for?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Wow. Mm. Okay, so I really like, so a couple things. I'm a sucker for a cheese plate.
Okay.
I like cheese plate appetizer. Artist Point at the Wilderness Lodge. I didn't think it was great when the four of us went a few years ago, but I recently went back, I think in January, and it was really, really good. I would definitely go back there again. I like Artist Point. I think that is a signature, but not bad at all.
Okay.
My favorite sit down right now, I was actually talking about this to Henry Work, name dropping. I was at the studios today with him, and I think my favorite right now sit down is Sanaa Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Ooh, nice. Doesn't love some naan.
Indeed. For counter service, I think Sunshine Seasons is where I'm going.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yeah, I think Sunshine Season is the best for all of us.
Yeah. What about you, Noel? What's your favorite right now?
I had really good meal at Le Cellier this past reunion.
You have to tell the story, Noel.
You tell it, Len, because you texted it to me, and I laughed. It was so funny.
So Noel apparently made this during reunion, JD. Noel made four reservations
Five.
For Le Cellier.
Five.
But would you use one of them?
I used one of them, yeah.
You used one and gave four away.
Right.
So five people walk up to Le Cellier and say, "Hi, I'm Mike Newell, you know, party of." And
wow.
the same person seated all of us. So I was the fourth one. She's like, "I know you're not Mike Newell. Who is this guy?" I said, "He's a fabulous, fabulous angel of dining."
Well, I was going to.
And how did you get five?
Since they changed the policy, I was able. I had in that last week before reunion, I was able to snag five, three at the exact same time. So I had three reservations under the same name for four people. So I had 12 people go.
She was like, "I know you're not Mike Newell, but who is this guy? Because I've been seating him all week."
And
wow.
She sat me too, because when I went in, she's like, "Oh, stop." I'm like, "No, really, that's my name." It was so funny. I actually showed him my ID. I said, "Look, see, this is me."
Awesome.
But I didn't want to cancel them, and if people wanted them, because it's so hard to get.
They're hard to get, yeah. And the place was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, I showed up at 8:30. Every seat was full. Every seat.
Good meal.
Wow.
What's your favorite sit down counter service, or sit down or counter service?
Sunshine Seasons, without a doubt. I had the this beef with rice was like an Asian dish that was really, really good. It was. I didn't want the pork chop that I usually get. The pork chop usually my go to. At Sunshine Seasons, but they had this, I think it was like a Mandarin beef with rice, and it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Scoba?
Oh, man, this is tough. I'm looking through the list, and it depends upon what my mood is. I agree with you guys on Sunshine Seasons for a sort of a counter service, and you know, there are two that come to mind, but I have a problem. One is Jack and Yeti, but I really am not a big fan of the Animal Kingdom, so I don't want to go over there just to eat. And the other one is Trails End. I just love Trails End. I just love the atmosphere. It's just great. Yeah. I just like it. Although I do like. I'll stick with those two.
Okay.
I want to go there when we next go. I don't know when it is, but I want to go.
Good. Never too early to start planning your dining.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to get into like Le Cellier or Ohana. Those signature restaurants are hard to get into.
Oh, yeah. My family loves Ohana.
Oh, I had through two great meals on the ship.
We've had great meals every year we've gone, and we've gone 4 years.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of going through withdrawals. I haven't been since 2009, and next is probably going to be at least 2013.
No.
I know. It's so bad.
You do. You
I'm
do for a trip.
Through withdrawals.
Well, at least you have, not to toot our own horn, but at least you have WDW Today to help you get through that.
Yeah, and that's old radio, too.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, and I have my unofficial guide, too.
Yay. Thank you.
Ding.
I've been working on the revision for that. In the mid-year revision should be out in February. Some interesting changes to it. Talked to Bob about it last week, and we're changing our coverage of the dining plan and of the downtown Disney hotels.
Ooh.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Thanks for calling in.
Oh, okay.
Did you have something else? Sorry,
didn't mean to... I had my opinion.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah,
please.
Okay. I know everybody says that Thorin doesn't belong in Future World. And when you look at it, the land pavilion doesn't really work in Future World either.
Hydroponics kind of futuristic-y.
So what, this is like all the moving around things and stuff. So I was thinking that I would move Thorin to the America Pavilion, but I would add more movies. I would put like a New York and Washington, D.C. one. I'd put Florida, Texas, Hawaii, basically all the aspects of America. That's what I'd do.
I think that it would be nice if someday they turn Soarin into some kind of a random generator kind of a thing, sort of like what they do with Tower of Terror. And so, you know, you get in and you, everybody waits in anticipation of what they're going to see. And think of how if you had three or four and you knew that there was one that was real popular with everyone and that one comes up on the screen and everybody starts clapping and screaming and yelling, I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe everybody likes the California one, so maybe put California in its own line.
Yeah,
I like that idea a lot, actually. Although I don't see them filming a New York City one anytime soon.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't see that happening.
Good point.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Colin.
Thanks.
And I gotta make a complaint though. We saw Soarin' this past trip, and it's getting worse with the dust on that screen. Oh my goodness!
Oh, really?
I can't believe that they did do that.
It's got
it was dust. That was Hidden Mickey's.
No, that was dust. And it actually improved, Mike, when you and I saw it. But I saw it the day prior, and it was terrible. It was just.
I mean, that was good.
That
really?
Was good
we
compared
saw
to yeah.
Sunday night.
Yeah,
wow.
I saw it on Saturday. It was terrible.
A lot of people in the chat room are saying that it's bad. Wharf 77B, the film is so bad. Jeff Swear, it's bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. This is the worst I've seen it on any trip. Was this past the reunion? Very disappointing.
Yeah, Rian Street Becky's saying it needs to be cleaned up. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of people agree with you, Mike.
I don't understand. I mean, because you know, I was in AV club when I was in high school.
And I am so not shocked.
Not for nothing, but a little can of air takes care of that. You know, you take the film and you're, I don't know. I don't get it.
This is the problem with corporate America, man.
Yeah.
You have to get authorization to do that stuff.
Yeah. Cast member right there and just go.
That's it. You know, a little. I don't know. Oh, queen of the house. You can't miss the dust. Dust is everywhere on that print this time.
407-278-5939, our phone number. Time for you to call in, ask your questions, share your comments, and maybe some thoughts from reunion 2011. Looking forward to your trips in 2012 because, as I think Len mentioned, it's just a few more days. It's going to be New Year's, which is crazy. I still can't get over that.
I also, what are you going to do with your spare time now that the show is going off the air? What will you do? More Mouse World Radio, I guess?
Yeah. I guess. Is there really ever enough Mouse World Radio?
No. I foresee the day where it's Mouse World Radio Ocho.
Ocho.
Eight?
The Ocho.
Eight?
Channel
the Ocho.
Eight?
Mouse World Radio, the Ocho.
Ocho Cinco.
It'll happen.
It will eventually.
You know, one question that came up in Reunion Land, what exactly is a laser disc?
Laser disc?
So, Noel,
I have one. You want me to go get it? I'll put it on the screen.
Do you really? You have a player too?
I've got three players. What are you kidding?
Do you really?
Yeah.
I've got laser discs. I need to convert them to DVD.
I'll ship you a player. You ship me the discs. How do you want to do this?
Well, we've got while Newell figures out where his player is, we've got our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
This is Bill from Texas.
Hey, Bill.
Bill, real quick, you have 10 cans of soup. They've expired. What do you do with them?
Hey, I'm a guy. You open them up. If there's nothing growing in them, you eat them.
I love that.
What kind of soup?
Bill has the best answer so far. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I have started listening to y'all before our first trip in 2009, and been listening to you ever since. But we've got a trip coming up in June of 2012. We're going to go to the world for 5 days, and then we're going to do a 5-day cruise on the Dream.
Nice.
And so I've got some kudos and some questions and some comments, if I can do all those.
Please, sir. Go ahead.
First of all, the kudos. A couple of shows ago, somebody had, I guess, you answered a question about where to park for the cruise, and you had mentioned parking not at the port, but parking off-site. And I never would have thought of that, but yeah, I checked, and you can park off-site for like $6 a day.
Yep.
And take the... I'm sure you're very good. Well, okay, kudos to you then. I guess you get on the shuttle. They take you right to the front door, drop you off.
Great
idea. What's that?
That's the way to go. I'm glad that you went that option. I think you're going to find it much more economical and just as good as parking your car in the Disney lot.
Yeah, well, but for your show, I never would have thought of that. So that's why I listen between the shows.
So
that's
what we
do. Another kudos, when we went, we used the touring plan, and the touring plan worked so well in the Magic Kingdom that we got to the Tom Sawyer Island step of the plan like 20 minutes before Tom Sawyer Island even opened.
Really? That's awesome. So did you do it like on morning extra magic hour or something?
Gosh, it's been so long. I don't know if it was extra morning hours or not, but I mean, we just followed the plan step by step. And we had to wait like 20 minutes for Tom Sawyer Island to open up. So
10 o'clock. That's
anyway,
funny.
Those are my kudos. And I got some questions. When we used the touring plan before, it usually said like step one, do this ride, step two, do this ride, step three, get a fast pass, step four, do this ride, step five, and then step six, go to use your fast pass. I notice in lines now, it just says when you get to the ride, see if you need to use fast pass, but it doesn't actually work it in as a step. How is that? I mean, are you just supposed to wait until your window and no matter where you are in the park, then go back and use it? Or since it's not an actual step now, how does that work?
So there's, are you looking at a customized plan, like an optimized plan, or are you looking at a standard touring plan? We should still have both steps if it's a standard touring plan.
Yeah, no, this is the one day Magic Kingdom of Tweens. And there were like three rides that it said check and use if it's more than 30 minutes, use Fast Pass. But then I never saw a step.
Oh yeah. So what we're saying there is probably not going to be more than a 30-minute wait there. But if it is, get a fast pass in that step. And then, yeah, just insert later on a step that says return and use fast pass. Generally, we're going to tell you if you need to get a fast pass. We're going to tell you in one step, get a fast pass. And then we're going to tell you in another step, use the fast pass. There are instances.
Okay, so
but there are instances where we don't think you're going to need to use a fast pass, Bill, and I think that's what's happening here. We don't think you're going to use it, but we're telling you if it's more than 30 minutes, just get a fast pass and come back.
Okay. The next question I have is the 4 days we're going to be at the World, we're going to be there from June 19th to June 23rd. And I'm hoping to take that middle day off, although the first time we went, we planned we're going to take that middle day off for sure, and then we ended up doing all kinds of stuff. We never took the rest day.
So you're going to take Thursday off?
Whatever the middle day is. I haven't got the calendar in front of it. But 2 days, day off in 2 days.
Yep.
And I think the conventional wisdom says you don't want to use Magic Kingdom the first day you're there. You know, you kind of want to hold that off because then after seeing, well, I mean, other than the studios, of course. I mean, you want to hold that off because I mean, after seeing the studios, right?
You want to hold that off as long as you can.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you know, after you've done the studio, you might as well just go hang out, you know, someplace and what's the deal. But anyway, so, but if you want old magic, you know, we usually do, well, the first time we went, we did Epcot for since Showcase doesn't open until 11 anyway. And so I think I'd do that, but Magic Kingdom is like that, I think, the first, second, third, fourth days. So I'm not sure when to do it. So basically, I guess what I'm asking is June 19th to June 23rd, what order would you do the parks in?
We could do the, looking at the crowd calendar, you could do the Animal Kingdom on Tuesday, the Magic Kingdom on Wednesday, Epcot on Thursday, and the studios on Friday. Or sorry, if you're going to take Thursday off, right?
I'm going to try to.
You could do the studios. That's fine. You could do the studios on Friday and Epcot on Saturday. So Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, day off, studios, Epcot?
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we'll do then. So, and let's see. Oh, and do we know Fantasmic yet? I think we're still waiting to find out on Fantasmic when those, how many shows are going to have on what nights.
This should be almost every night. What month are we looking at again?
June.
Yeah, aren't they?
Yeah, they've already got it out for 9 o'clock. I think most nights.
Yeah, keep in mind though, with Fantasmic is they'll put out whatever schedule now, but make sure to check it again, definitely like a month out, because they tend to update them as you get closer to the dates.
Yeah, right now, Bill, they're tentatively scheduled for 9 o'clock. I think every night you're there.
Okay, and the next thing, I think you're going to talk about dining plan later. You guys had me convinced. Don't do the dining plan. Just do the card. So I thought, well, I'll go through in the night places where we're going to eat. Because, I mean, we're going to do a couple of buffets, which are really expensive, of course. And then wherever we go, the other restaurants, we're going to do, you know, get some of the most expensive stuff probably and, you know, live it up. We're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. So I added everything up, and I thought, okay, I'm going to add this up, and I'm going to compare it to the dining plan, and the dining plan is going to be a lot more expensive. And it wasn't. The dining plan was actually quite a bit less expensive. And one of the things I wanted to suggest was, you know, a lot of times you guys are down the dining plan because, well, who's going to want to see a sit-down dinner every night? But one thing you might consider is people like myself that maybe only go like every 3 years or 4 years, that the sit-down dining is actually an attraction in and of itself. I mean, going to Ohana's or Primetime Cafe or whatever is as much an attraction as going to you know, Tower of Terror or Space Mountain. And so we are going to do a sit-down every night because we look forward to doing that as much as touring the parks. But in our case, the dining plan is less expensive, quite a bit less expensive than what I kind of have calculated our meal costs would be for those days.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, one thing we always say about the dining plan, I know we're not huge fans of it, but you do need to do the math on it. And there are instances where it does make some sense, but I don't think that anyone should blindly assume the dining plan is the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. One more comment, then I'll let you all go. On the Yeti, you had talked several months ago about, you know, what Matt had heard maybe is a possibility. One thing I'd heard at one point was it was the foundation that the Yeti is on that's not strong enough to support it. So I mean,
yeah, I've heard
that's
that.
If that's a repair, I mean, you're going to have to, I guess, lift it off the foundation, redo the foundation. I mean, that would be a massive closure.
I think I wrote a blog on that.
Yeah, we heard the same thing. It's the building around it that would require
The footings.
That's tricky. Yeah.
Yeah, so it would take a long time, Bill, if they were going to fix that. They would have to remove it from the building, and that is a building, and they'd have to figure out a way to get it out, and then they'd have to figure out a way to get it back in, and they'd have to figure out a way to test it. So it would take a long, long time.
You know. I don't know that we'll ever see that in our lifetimes, maybe.
Yeah, right.
But I had another theory. I'm wondering if maybe the Imagineer who was assigned to figure out how to fix the Yeti, if his prior assignment had been determined how to fix the lights of winter.
his answer to everything is, nah, it can't be done. No. What else you got for me?
Yeah, I tell you, after watching the Osborne lights this year and how they've advanced, still don't understand why lights of winter are not there.
Yeah, a lot of people notice that. I think Disney's just hoping that someday we'll all forget about it, but it's it's hard to miss it. I mean, it really changed. I really think that the lack of lights and winter at Epcot has really changed Epcot's holiday feel to the park. It's just not quite the same. It definitely feels like the park is missing something.
That did set the tone. It set the feel for as you walk through Future World going into World Showcase. That set the holiday tone because you hit that first before you hit the tree. And that just would set up, you know, it always did for me anyway.
Yeah, I don't feel a Christmas spirit down there as much as I had in the past. That's for sure.
I agree, Mike.
And speaking of
407, go ahead, Mike.
No, speaking of Christmas spirit, I found a Laserdisc, if anybody wanted.
What'd you find?
The Academy Award winning Tom Selleck's Mr. Baseball.
Wow.
Wow, what a classic.
What did that win for, like, screenplay?
It's Letterboxd too, Len. So basically, all it is
what Academy Award did Tom Selleck's movie win?
That was the joke. That was part of the fun.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, never mind.
You're supposed to go with it, Len. Not question it.
All right. It has to be a slightly more obscure award, like Golden Globes.
Okay, all right. Yeah, okay. I see what you mean.
Golden Globe winning. Award winning.
Emmy Award winning. There it is.
Emmy's for TV, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Awesome.
Cool. 407-278-5939. And your opportunity to call in right now to the show, and we'll get things going with our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
It's Liz from Chicago.
Hey, Liz.
Hiya, Liz.
Len, I think you should feed the soup to your neighbor's dog, and then if the dog's okay, you know it's safe.
Fabulous idea. So I save half of each can of soup. Beautiful. I'll tell you what, instead of my neighbor's dog, I'll just leave it out and see if the local wildlife eat it. If they do, and there's not like carcasses littering my my yard. Although on the off chance that there are carcasses, littering my yard, I am going to have, as they say, some splaining to do.
I just keep thinking of Bumpus from Chris's story. Bumpus.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, last time I called, I asked where we weren't eating that we should be, but here's my question. Barring Cinderella's Royal Table, because you guys always talk about it, where do you think people are eating too often that they shouldn't be eating?
Magic Kingdom.
Anywhere in the Magic Kingdom is pretty good.
Crystal Palace. It's hard for me to rationalize a buffet like Crystal Palace because it's so expensive for adults. And, you know, Tony's Town Square just is an afterthought for dining in the Magic Kingdom. I got to go with, pretty much anywhere in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm trying to think of a restaurant we've harped on, you know, Tony's and Cinderella's Royal Table. I think, you know, I'm going to go on Crystal Palace. After eating there last month or so, totally turned off by that restaurant now.
Okay, I was just curious because we're going in a few months, so looking ahead.
Yeah, Scope, do you have an opinion on that? A restaurant you think is people shouldn't be eating at?
You know, it's funny. When you and Len said that, I mean, I recall I don't remember the last time I ate there because of, you know, quality of the food and the price, but I recall walking by there several times within the last year or so, and I don't see as many people on the porch as I used to. So I think that the price has been a deterrent, and I think that the quality of the food has been a deterrent. But I agree. I mean, I've been down on Tony's for about 20 years, and I think Tony's and Crystal Palace fall short. I mean, I think there are some underrated restaurants. I mean, I think that the Plaza is okay. And I think that Liberty Tree Tavern, that might be okay. But I really think that in general, the Magic Kingdom needs to see an uplift in their restaurants. And that's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Everyone have a good holiday.
Thank you.
You too.
Thanks, Liz.
Bye.
407-278-5939. Let's keep things rolling. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize I hit the phone button. I was just waiting for the previous person to you know, finish, and I thought, oh, that'll hit send.
Yeah, no, you're on the air.
Sorry, I guess I hit send. Yeah. Well, okay, this is Maureen, Queen of the House, Maureen. And so
Maureen.
I know I spoke to you last month. I'm going New Year's Eve.
Hey, yes. Me too.
And, oh, well, maybe you can help me plan my day.
All right.
Because I want to go to the studios, and especially now that they're going to have the Comedy Warehouse people at Sounds Dangerous.
Yes.
And we're going to be, you know, we're coming in, we're leaving here on a 6 o'clock flight, probably get there. We'll be up with no sleep, probably.
On the midnight train.
And, yeah, so I'm thinking, are we going to make it? But, so we probably can get to the studios still while it's morning, probably around 11, 12 o'clock, I would think.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm thinking it's still going to be crowded, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck we should do.
Well, the studios won't close for capacity. Is that your question?
Well, I guess I'm just, I get the feeling that it's going to be more crowded than it typically is when I've been there before.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. It's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, it's like the clearance rack. I stay away from the clearance rack because everybody's there, and I end up drifting off. So I'm thinking I'm going to drift off someplace, and when I get to the studios, bad analogy.
But the thing is, though, Maureen, excuse me, is the something like Comedy Warehouse is not going to draw. You know, I don't want to worry about the crowds over there. You're not going to notice them there. You're not going to see them. They have announced they're going to be showing cartoon shorts at the Premier Theater as well during that same time period. And the crowds there, you'll be fine over there with. It's really, I mean, you're going to notice the crowds, obviously. Everything just goes up a little bit in terms of the line. So, like, you know, you're going to see, obviously, huge crowds for, like, Tower of Terror, Twister, Midway Mania. But for Comedy Warehouse and, you know, the Citizens of Hollywood, I think you're still going to be able to see everything that you want to see in that regard. There's going to be more people around. I mean, getting from point A to point B is going to be more crowded. But by the same token, I think some of the other attractions are still going to be more manageable than you may think, especially on New Year's Eve, because the studios, I think, is a great pick for where to go that day.
I'm almost wondering if I should just sort of lay low and just sort of, you know, follow the Citizens of Hollywood around, try to do the Comedy Warehouse thing, and not even try to do attractions particular day.
Yes,
we'll
I've done
there
that
for the rest of the week.
I've done that before, Maureen. Same exact thing when I did New Year's Eve in the past. You know, you could also just grab some fast passes here and there. You know, you go get a fast pass for, like, you know, a ride or two that you want to experience, and that way you can be assured of a quick ride. But otherwise, you know, check out the street level entertainment that's going on throughout the park and kind of take in the experience of just being in the parks on New Year's Eve. That's a lot of fun. And Len, I know that since you've done New Year's Eve, you enjoyed that as well, right? Just being in the parks for New Year's Eve is fun.
Yep, it's except for the last couple hours, it's a blast. But you know, you get there, you know, early enough, you can still see things. It's manageable. You know, I wouldn't expect any sit down restaurant reservations or anything like that. But yeah, just walking around and feeling the vibe, you know, all the energy. That's a lot of fun.
Somebody mentioned the last time I called was, you know, with Fantasmic too. So what are your thoughts about trying to go to Fantasmic that night?
Yeah, get in line now.
Yeah, right.
Well, just see you need to see the last show. There's going to be three shows that night. See the last show. That's the key. Don't even bother with the first show. The second show will still be pretty crowded. But I think if you do the third show, you could probably have a normal wait time, you know, where you get in line, you know, maybe half an hour or so, 40 minutes beforehand, and I think you'll be okay. Because don't forget, you know, these shows are just back to back to back, so you can only get in really 30 minutes or so beforehand, but people start queuing up to some degree.
Right.
But I think by the third show, you'll be fine.
And
what time is the third show?
2 o'clock in the morning. No, I don't know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, actually, I believe it's 6, 8, I think it's 9:30 or 10 o'clock or something like that. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. I can pull it up right now.
Okay.
Do you have Mulch's schedule, Matt? Because I know they're playing New Year's Eve.
I'm looking at the handy-dandy Hollywood Studios.
And are they
Times
playing at the
today.
Hat?
Yes, they'll be playing at the Hat every hour up until, like, midnight. Basically, they play, and then there's a DJ. It's kind of like alternating, basically.
Okay.
Do we have this Fantasmic?
But they're fantastic. If you get to Maureen, ask them to play some Van Halen.
Okay, yeah. I'm thinking maybe Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
No, go with the Van Halen. Really, trust me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the schedule will be out. Right now, the schedule's only out for the 18th to 24th for this week, obviously. But there's going to be, I believe, it's 6:30, 8, and I want to say like 9:30 for the last one for Fantasmic. And then you can see Fantasmic come out and grab a spot for the fireworks.
And I admit, what is a good spot for the fireworks? Because I've never been there, so I don't even know that they've ever had fireworks. I've never been there for fireworks.
Yeah, you got to go check it out. I would recommend seeing it. The best spot would be around the tip board, maybe even a little further back, like closer to the park entrance. Anywhere on Hollywood Boulevard is great.
Okay.
But I would actually recommend being further from the Sorcerer's Hat than being closer to it.
Okay. So do they go over the hat? Is that where they...
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. They shoot fireworks from behind, like by the Great Movie Ride, basically. So that's the vantage point you want to have.
Okay. Well, my husband will be happy to, since he's never come with us before, he'll be happy to watch it by the entrance so he can get out.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock, by the way. I should read my own website. 6:30, 8, and 10 are the Fantasmic times on the 31st.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and don't forget also get your free New Year's Eve paraphernalia. Disney distributes plastic hats and those annoying, what are they called, Len? Things like,
Noisemakers.
Yeah. They're very annoying. You'll have them everywhere because everyone thinks it's funny to do it beforehand.
Ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask you, too, has the Comedy Warehouse started?
No, it starts on
Christmas Day. Last week?
Well, yeah, they've tested a couple of shows, right?
Have they? Not to my knowledge.
I thought they tested a couple of shows.
I haven't seen anything, but...
I could be wrong.
25th to the 31st on that.
Could be the wine talking.
And I heard a rumor that maybe they were going to do some Adventurous Club skits is that just a rumor?
I think that's just a rumor. I think there was wishful thinking on a lot of people's
hopeful, thoughts. Yeah, I'm sure it was hopeful.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I can't wait to check it out.
And it starts to get packed, because you were saying the last couple of hours it gets crazy?
Yeah, people start piling in for the fireworks, and it starts getting noticeably crowded because people start getting their spots, and it gets very congested. But, you know, I mean, Len was at the Magic Kingdom. Even at the studios, I think you start to really notice the people around 8 o'clock and moving forward towards the fireworks. You start seeing people starting to line up, and the crowds get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's manageable, though. I just find a spot and know that it's going to be very crowded and enjoy yourself.
Okay. Yeah, oh, no, I'm sure I'll enjoy myself. And my thought is that after New Year's, the crowds must go down.
After the second one?
Well, no, I mean, like, say New Year's Day and on, because I'm going to be there for the rest of the week.
Yeah, no, the first is still crowded.
Yeah.
Okay.
The kids go back to school around on the 3rd, so the 1st and 2nd will be crowded. It drops off pretty quickly, so the 3rd and 4th are moderately busy, but then, you know, by the weekend, it's dead.
Okay, that's what my hope is.
Cool.
That would be great. I've never been there when it's dead before. It'd be a nice change.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maureen.
And I'll look for you guys. Len, you said you're there on New Year's Eve. I'll look for you.
I am. I'll be in the Magic Kingdom, but I'm there. You know, I'm there for a few days before that too.
All right. Well, have a good night, guys.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks,
Maureen.
The key to finding Len is just put your nose in the air and smell the sweet smell of free meals floating around, and move towards it.
All you got to do is listen for.
Please remain seated.
So last year my New Year's Eve meal was the free salad at Pecos Bill's. I brought a plate and I did it. And I think I'm going to turn that into a New Year's Eve tradition.
There you go.
Yeah.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and plenty of time to get your calls in here on this December 2011 live show. And, of course, don't forget to join us in our chat room. It's at live.wwda.com. And there you can be a part of the show and share some of your comments on New Year's Eve and anything else we're talking about. And that's, of course, all that video, the chat. It's all at live.wwda.com.
Yeah.
We have our next call on the air. And hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Terry Gaff.
Hey, Terry.
Hey. I wanted to tell you guys about the... Oh, first of all, thanks for the show. So they're wonderful. But I wanted to tell you about this nightmare that I've had. The beta mouse died, and then I heard that there was a possibility that WDW Today would give up the ghost, and I wanted to make sure that wasn't going to happen.
And, you know, 1,000 episodes, I think, is enough. You got to know when to walk away.
Terry, don't lose too much sleep over it. That's my advice to you.
What?
And don't listen to what Mongello says. Whatever he says, don't listen to it.
Of course not. I would never listen to Mongello. So now that you guys are going to give this up, are you going to put together? Oh well, Lynn's got the Unofficial Guide podcast. Is that going to go on, or is that just kind of a
as a matter of fact? It's funny you mentioned that. talking about it with Newell going forward with a couple more episodes. We'll see what happens.
Tank in chat room is suggesting WW Today: The Next Generation. I like that.
I agree. I think that's a great idea. I think that. Jim Hill has some interesting prospects or attitudes toward the Disney properties. But
if we can just keep him out of jail, I mean, that's the thing, right?
So you guys are going to do the last episode on Princess Weekend. And I was thinking that maybe you might want to like do some fundraising and maybe do a little running that weekend. So I know how much Matt likes to run. So I was thinking that maybe you guys would be.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe you guys would be interested in running the 5K that weekend for charity. So I'm just kind of putting it out there, and think about it. And if you decide to do it, I'm in. All right.
We'll think about it real hard.
5K.
Yeah.
I can be talked into that.
No.
Okay.
5K, dude. It's 5K. It's 3 miles. My daughters run a 5K.
Dude, I run 1 mile, and I'm like, this stinks.
When have you ever ran 1 mile?
I've done it. Gym class. High school
gym class, yeah.
Sophomore year,
1986.
Yeah, what? No, he was born in 86. Well,
the drugstore caper.
I think it would be best done in costume, though.
Costume. Yes.
Mm. Yeah,
maybe a tutu.
Tutus for all.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for calling, Terry.
Great job, guys, and thanks for the 1,000 episodes. That now I'm going to have to go back and start episode one and listen
start
to them all again.
Work your back.
Funny trivia story about Terry Gaff. He ran the half marathon last year at Walt Disney World with my father-in-law. They were on the bus together.
We were on the bus together, and I was kind of just passing the time, and the man next to me on the bus said, "Yeah, my son-in-law is down here," and we got around to the idea that you had a podcast, and he was freaked out that that I actually knew who you were, and that I knew his daughter's name. I think that was a little bit of freakiness for him too. Yeah, some weird guy on the bus knows who his daughter is. That was I'm not sure he ever actually recovered from that. Definitely. So anyway, great job, guys. I'm sure all the people want to be on this show. So take care of yourselves and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you,
you too.
Yep.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And man, quite a year we've had in 2011. Lots of great memories, and 2012 is gonna be a lot more fun. We're already, obviously, you all know about the 1,000th show, which is we should re-mention those dates again, because the 1,000th show that we're going to be doing our 1,000th show in Walt Disney World, and we want you to be a part of it. In fact, it's something we've been planning for a while, and we kind of mentioned it before reunion, but now that reunion is unfortunately over. I had a great time, but now that it's over, it's something that we can look forward to now in terms of planning, and you can actually. We don't have any. We're still working out those final details, but it's going to be happening February 23rd to 27th, 2012. And of course, you can get you can book with our travel partners at MEI and Mouseman Travel, which will of course get you first dibs on purchasing access to a special 1,000th episode event, which there will be coming down the pipeline very soon, and that'll all be available. The people who booked with the package will get the first access to that, and the rest of us will get access to it after that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to to sharing our 1,000th episode with everybody there. It's going to be filmed at a location at Walt Disney World. And when we have more details, we're going to be announcing them very soon. So keep an eye on that as we look forward to 2012 already.
We're filming it?
Well,
filming
you know.
It? Oh, for, yeah. For the concert tour. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And yeah, phone lines are open for you to give us a call. And, you know, one thing that, you know, I guess, well, let me ask you this, Lon, while we're waiting for our next call. Looking back on reunion, what was your favorite, what memory stands out? Let me put that. That's why it must be your favorite. What memory stands out to you?
That's great. So, I hate to, again, toot my own horn, but I really like the Carousel of Progress meet. But I think I liked, the thing that made the meet, Matt, was you bringing the hats. The fake Statue of Liberty crown stuff, that was hysterical.
Full credit goes to Mr. Mike Newell for being my partner in crime and coming up with the idea.
Genius. And the other thing that I really liked was the Osborne family spectacle of lights, getting to flip the switch that turned the lights on.
Oh, that was fun.
That was, I mean, how many people ever get a chance to do that, right? So getting to actually do that was a hoot.
Yeah, it was just so funny. We came in. I got some people were in the chat room that helped me bring them in. There was Sarah, Tim, Ashley, and Robin. And we all had them. We're all bringing them in. And we thought for sure Disney was, security was going to give us like flack. Like, why is someone bringing all this stuff in there, you know? They could not have cared less. They were more concerned with my daughter's diaper bag than the fact that we're transporting boxes and boxes of foam Statue of Liberty stuff.
Sure. I've brought in, not me, but Scarlett's brought in like, 200 shot glasses before, and they didn't even bat an eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Good evening. This is Bill from New Jersey. How you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Bill.
Just a quick question as far as breakfast is concerned. Besides character meals and buffets, what is your favorite place to go for a good long sit down breakfast? And expenses is not a problem.
Ooh, I know what Scope is going to say.
Yeah,
no powdered eggs.
No powdered eggs.
No powdered eggs.
No powdered eggs.
I mean, my favorite right now is actually Hollywood and Vine, simply because if you play it right, you can do breakfast and lunch thereafter for the price of breakfast.
The scope of breakfast.
Yes, the scope of breakfast. unfortunately, you can't do that anymore at the original place where Scope invented it, which was Trails End. But the idea lives on. But Scope, where's your favorite place for breakfast these days?
Oh, boy. Well,
A lot of people in the chat room are saying Kona.
Hi, that was mine. Don't steal it, man.
Kona is nice.
Too late.
I mean, if you want to sit, I think we should qualify this. There's sit down and then there's buffet breakfast. But I think
for sit down, no buffet, and no characters. Just like a nice long good breakfast, eggs made to order, good quality food, that sort of thing.
Oof. Well, sit down. I think I'd have to say Kona is up there. For a sort of a buffet kind of a thing, it's sort of a half of a buffet. It's fresh, Mediterranean fresh, and the Dolphin, I believe. Or is it the Swan? It's the Swan, I think. I like that. I think that's a very very good place to eat. Len?
Hey, Len, what do you think?
I like Kona more than pretty much any other place. Everyone goes for the Tonga toast, but I think we've said this on a show a while ago. I think literally every single thing on the menu is good. The was it the Eggs Benedict? Is that the thing that we all had that came with the pork hash that was just fabulous? I think it was. It's crazy.
They also have macadamia nut pineapple pancakes.
Everything is good. The things that you wouldn't normally order were the things that I think we liked the best, Bill. It was, everyone goes for the Tonga toasts. Everyone goes, for pancakes. But I don't think there's anything on the menu that I wouldn't order. And the coffee is really good too, by the way. Yeah, so I don't know if you like coffee in the morning, Bill. But dude, for me, that's a make or break. Yeah. So Kona.
Everyone in chat room, Bill, is saying Kona. I mean, you got a couple here and there. Waffle House, thank you, Anne. But everyone's really in the chat room is saying Kona. Jeff Rent, Becky. So it seems to be the chat room is going with the Kona idea that Len has.
Really, remember, we were there. We ordered one of everything from on the menu. It was fantastic.
I just had one more about accommodations, too. What do you guys feel about the family suites? Are they worth it, or is it better just to get two rooms? I mean, they're pretty much...
The only thing with two rooms... Well, if they're two connecting rooms, that's not... I don't think there's really a huge difference other than the kitchenette. Is there a big difference between the two rooms and a suite?
No, they're basically two rooms. They knock the wall down in between.
Yeah, but you get four proper beds with two rooms, whereas you get sort of fold out stuff with the suite. Who's going, Bill?
Myself, my wife, my mother in law, and my daughter.
You might be happier with the two rooms only because everyone gets their own bed. Instead of like the fold out beds. Now me, well, okay, so I'm divorced, but you know, putting my mother in law in a fold out bed, I still wouldn't do that anyway. I like her enough that I wouldn't do that. But everyone gets their own bed in a two room thing. So get connecting rooms.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, guys. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, man. See you, Bill.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And some good discussions. I like there was a good question from Bill about counter service.
Hello, Bill.
At any rate, phone lines are open for you to call. And you know, while we're ready for our next call, let's remind all of our listeners about our sponsor for today's live show, which of course is touringplans.com. And hey, touringplans.com is the resource, in fact, to help you get around Walt Disney World, see more of Walt Disney World without waiting in those long lines. So if you want to see Walt Disney World, do everything you want to do without waiting in lines, no question, touringplans.com is that resource. Check them out right now at touringplans.com.
I love this song. I heard it in Starbucks today.
Next call is on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hey, it's Melissa from South Korea.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, I have a question and a statement for Matt and a question for Scopa.
Oh, cool. Right.
Save the best for last.
Yes, that's right.
I feel left out.
We were in Animal Kingdom, Matt, and I've toured Animal Kingdom so many times, but it's always with a group of people who are like, we don't want to go to the bird show. So I was finally with a good little group of Disney commandos that were like, we will do whatever you want us to do. And I was like, let's go to the bird show. And it was fantastic.
I know.
I like the bird show.
I do too.
The bird show's good, but you always rip on Animal Kingdom. And I just have to tell you that, like, if you went to Animal Kingdom and you did Kilimanjaro's Expedition Everest, saw the bird show, did Festival of the Lion King, hung out with the Tigers for a little bit, and then rode Tali River Rapids, and then like ate at Flame Tree Barbecue, that would be a rock solid morning that I would put up against any other park morning out there.
And then you'd be done for the day. That's it. There's nothing else to do in the park.
Well, then you go back to the pool and like have fancy rum drinks. Why not?
Okay.
I think I wanna take vacations with you. I think this is a fabulous idea.
It is.
I just think it's cool I could say I know somebody from South Korea.
Exactly.
So, Matt, my question for you is, when your daughter is like 4.5, you're going to take her to Cinderella's Royal Table and say that it was like the best money you ever spent. You get that, right?
No, you just know. Wow. Just know it's going
to
happen.
See, as a parent, your job is to guide your children. In the same way that you don't let your child do drugs or hang out with the wrong people, or go to Cinderella's Royal Table. You have to guide them, give them advice on how you have worldly experience to share with them. And it's my job to tell my child, no, Gabriella, that is a bad idea.
More importantly, I can't wait till she's three and Matt goes, oh, now I have to buy three annual passes.
Are you kidding, Mike? I think she could pass for three until she's about what, five or so. That'll work.
If you start her smoking early, she'll stunt her growth.
The thing is, she's gonna find out about it because, like, I'm gonna tell her.
Thanks, appreciate
it. You're going to have to, and you're going to be in there. Yeah. You're going to have wet eyes. You're going to be crying and taking pictures. So
What's that, Melissa? Your phone is going through a tunnel, I think.
Oh, well, I'm on Skype.
There's a monsoon in South Korea.
There you go. Is it good now?
Yeah, you're fine. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the day is coming. So I just want to, like, you might want to, like, slowly change your stance on it so you don't have to, like, eat crow.
Nope. You watch. You watch.
All right.
I'm a man of my principles, darn it.
Okay. Wow. So here's my question for Scopa.
Go ahead, Melissa.
When I was 5, my parents gave me to strangers, and the strangers took me to Disney World. And they made me a very nice...
And you never thanked me.
They made me a photo album that my mom just found. And she brought out this photo album, and at the very back of it was the park tickets and the River Country day pass.
Oh.
And I was psyched, but then I was a little disappointed because I thought that in 77 I would have seen the e-ticket, A-ticket system. So when did they actually use that ticket system?
They were using it back then. I remember there is a if you are standing near the teacups and you look towards I guess Fantasyland proper, there's a little booth that's on the side, and I don't know if they're selling I don't know what they sell there, but they used to sell tickets there, and there used to be booths throughout the Magic Kingdom where you could buy for $10 a booklet, and you know A, B, C, D, E, and I think that those, I don't know exactly what year that they went with the present. Len probably has a better idea. I'm thinking maybe mid 80s, Len, that they abolished the tickets. But
yeah,
back then, Melissa, I think they were using it back in the 70s for sure.
They were in 1980. Huh. 1980 they were using it still.
But River Country is a separate, that's a separate gate. That was a separate gate back then.
Right, but I have a River Country one-day pass and a three-day passport to the Magic Kingdom.
You do? In 77?
Yeah.
Wow.
The River Country one-day pass was $3.
Wow.
And the,
wow. What a
for a
steal.
Child, the Magic Kingdom three-day passport was $17.
A three-day?
Ah, memories.
Okay, we're all Googling now.
I can scan them and send you pictures of them if you want me to.
I still remember going one of my first solo trips, and it was like a four-day pass was like $160, which I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Now, not so much.
Yep.
Cool. Well, Melissa, I appreciate the call. Some good feedback, and thanks for listening all the way in South Korea.
Thanks for all your good work, guys, and excited for the 1,000th episode.
Woo!
Nice. Bye, Melissa.
Take care.
407-278-5939, our phone number. Scott, what about you? What memory for you stands out from Reunion 2011? Since I was talking about some of his earlier.
I got to admit that the five-hour event that we had on Saturday night will always be something special. I think we need to send kudos out to Becky for doing a lot of things that we weren't aware of. And mm-hmm. I like the idea of us giving back to our listeners. And we gave out, I believe, 37 prizes that night. And I feel very, very proud and honored to have pulled out the prize that we gave to Joe Pardo. And it was a 6-day trip for 4 people at a moderate with park tickets and I think it was free dining, too.
I can't wait, Joe. Give me a call.
I'm about to say, Joe, my name is Hochberg, Hochberg.
Guys, he's already taking bean.
We had to put up with his nonsense about the stupid Judy thing that whole trip. You know, he owes us.
We have our next call on the line. It's Andrew from Long Island. Hey, Andrew.
Andrew.
Hi.
Andrew is our number one Facebook fan on WDW Today. Thank
is
you,
he?
Andrew.
Yeah, go Jeff. All right, my question is: How would you rank the 4 Disney World parks first to worst? For me, it's Magic Kingdom top because of the classic attractions. Second would be Animal Kingdom because I think the limited amount of attractions they do have are well done. 3, I would put the Studios, Tower of Terror, and rock and roll question. I'll put Epcot dead last because I feel it's a hot. It's a mix of the worst of Animal Kingdom and the studios. Future Worlds is outdated, and the World Showcase does not have enough attractions. What do you guys think?
Wow, that's a loaded comment there, sir.
Dude, that's harsh, man. Wow.
I mean, you certainly have a unique take. I mean, some of those I agree with, some I don't agree with. You know, there's, I don't know, man. The great thing, I mean, first of all, everyone's got an opinion. And Andrew, you're totally entitled to yours. You're not wrong by any means.
but Matt's going to be studios first.
I disagree with both of those statements, but go ahead.
However, that being said, you're wrong.
That being said, that's wrong on both of those counts.
You know, but it's interesting. I always like hearing people think. I mean, I think part of what we have to do is, you know, because we're so ingrained in the everyday going on in Walt Disney World, it's important to be able to see what other people are thinking. So, Andrew, I appreciate the comments. I mean, Scopo, I mean, what's your take on how the state of the parks today and how you would rank them, Mike?
Well, I think that Epcot will always be number one. I think that that park is seen as a very, very much of a revenue generator. So I think that they will always look at that park and always make sure that that is in good shape. I think that that park is number one. I think that the Magic Kingdom has been slipping a little bit, and for some reason I think that all this expansion with the with Fantasyland was as a result of someone saying, hey, you know, we really need to pay attention, as well as, you know, other theories that we have. So I think Magic Kingdom is number two. I think that the studios and Animal Kingdom are neck and neck. I think the studios may be a little bit better than Animal Kingdom. Because I think that there are just more things there for people to do. I think that Animal Kingdom, to me, still feels like it's half done, like it's not completed yet. I think they need to do something with that. But I think that all parks need something in specific. And we talked earlier tonight about how the Magic Kingdom really needs a shot in the arm regarding sit-down restaurants and just all types of eating options. I think that in Epcot, we have some attractions that need to be attended to. We talked about Soarin' and how there's dust on there, and there are a few other things in there. We just talked about I just mentioned Animal Kingdom. It just seems like it's not finished, and I have this thing with Dinoland and all that stuff. With the studios, I think that the studios is a misnomer. It used to have so many other things that they don't have now. I think that, you know, we've talked about the American Idol experience. Maybe they, you know, you don't put an attraction in for a television show that may have already jumped the shark. So there's some issues there. But I think they all have areas that need to be attended to, and hopefully over the next several years, if the budget allows, you know, we'll see. And I don't think Avatar is the answer for Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, Jeff Rent in chat room was saying, wait till Avatar. Yeah. Just wait till Avatar lands.
Ooh,
you shall
can't wait.
See. you know, actually, the topic actually landed. I was actually the topic actually made me think of one of actually a blog entry I just saw on touringplans.com about, you know, new classic attractions and which attractions we consider to be classics. You know, of the newer kind, because obviously we all know that, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever is a classic one. And, you know, that what Andrew was mentioning, you know, kind of thought, you know, maybe you know, it just made me thought it was a great entry. If you guys haven't checked it out on Touring Plans, you check it out. But it's interesting. You know, some of the newer stuff. A lot of times we look back on the older stuff, and you know, with fond memories. But you know, there are some newer attractions that are becoming quickly some classic ones as well. So you know, there's good, like Scopa said, and there's also definitely room for improvement. I don't think anyone here can say that the parks are complete and that they're perfect as is. There's definitely room for improvement in every single park, including my beloved Hollywood Studios. I'll be the first to admit that. And, you know, hopefully we will see that improvement over the next couple of years, because that's the fun thing, really. Look back on it and see, track where we're going, and look back even just in the history of this podcast, where Walt Disney World was in 2005 versus where it is today. You know, it's night and day difference, really, when you think about it.
Is there anything at the Animal Kingdom that you would consider a classic attraction?
Expedition Everest.
You think?
Oh yeah, for sure.
If it's just a roller coaster ride.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, it's just a roller coaster ride.
Expedition Everest is this generation's Matterhorn.
No, but that's the thing.
That's not saying much. Okay, I'm saying.
Have you ridden the Matterhorn?
I have not ridden it. No, but I mean, today doesn't hold up. I understand that. But in the 1955 or whenever it opened, it was a big deal. And here it is.
First tubular steel roller coaster, apparently. I don't know.
I don't even know if that's the way.
Big shout out to Kelsey if she's listening. Go ahead.
I don't know. I'd classify Matterhorn as a roller coaster.
I think the only thing that I would consider a classic attraction is this Kilimanjaro Safari.
Well, that one too. I agree with that.
Nah, that's the only one. I don't think Everest qualifies as a.
I don't know. People in chat room, Park Hopper Rich agrees with me, and if anyone's opinion is important, it's Park Hopper Rich. I've always said that.
But what's original about it? It's a roller coaster. It's another industrial vehicle gone awry theme. There's other than it being tall. What's there?
I think what Len is saying, Matt, is that there's no Imagineering that went into it, really.
It's like the Mad Libs of roller coaster design. Some sort of scary animal, insert some sort of runaway industrial vehicle, mountain, whatever.
I can't believe I'm defending Animal Kingdom, but
oh my God, it's like Bizarro Universe. Yeah. Anyway,
I agree with it. Kilimanjaro first. I do agree with you. I think those are the two, Everest and Kilimanjaro. But I stand by my Kilimanjaro. Anyway, 4727859 is our phone number. A lot of people in the chat. It's interesting. A lot of the opinions in the chat room there. Becky seems to think she says it's a coaster, so I guess she's not sold on it. Anne says it's a classic. TN4 Mickey says Matt's right. Becky says Len.
Len, now.
But really, when doesn't Becky say that? We'll be talking about anything at this point.
Fair enough. 407-278-5939, our phone number. And Scopa, you mentioned earlier that you found your admission ticket from 77?
Well, Melissa got me to thinking, and so I did some research, and here's some interesting figures. So in 1977, it was just the Magic Kingdom, and there was general admission to get into the park, and here's some prices to think about. As an adult, it was $6 for general admission. For juniors, back then they divided into three. They also did that for a while for the dinners too, for like a few into a buffet. They had juniors from 12 to 17. That was $5 to get in, and for children from 3 to 11, it was $3. That just got you in, and then you had to buy what they called back then an adventure book with the A, B, C, D, E tickets. Now you could buy an 8, 10. You could buy an 8, 10, 12, or 16. I think it was there's a 16. Oh, they got a whole bunch of stuff here. You can buy all these books. So give you an idea. And also back then they had the Magic Kingdom Club, which I belonged to, and that would save you some money. But if you were an adult and you wanted an 8-ticket adventure book, that cost you between $7 and $8, depending upon if you were a Magic Kingdom Club member. Now Melissa mentioned she said she had like a 3-day pass. And I'm looking here, and they had passports here. And they've got a passport here. I don't see a 3-day. I see a 2-day Magic Kingdom passport, which included Magic Kingdom admission for 2 days, all the rides, 2 days transportation to the Magic Kingdom and Lake Buena Vista Shopping Center. And it was $17.
Wow.
So $17 for a 2-day hopper, that's pretty good. They have a 2-day 18 adventure vacation kingdom book, which included 2 days admission, 16 attractions, coupon for cruise to Treasure Island, coupon for use of transportation admission to River Country. So, but here's the thing that everyone should realize that there were 18 tickets in this book. There was one A ticket, one B ticket, 4 C tickets, 5 Ds, and 5 Es. So, yeah, you had 16 attractions, or 18, or whatever it is, but only 10 of them were the real good attractions, D and E. And E would be, I don't even know, I guess Space Mountain was back then. Space Mountain would be an E. I don't know what else. I think maybe Haunted Mansion would be an E ticket. Pirates would be an E ticket. I don't know what else. I forget what else. But that gives you an idea what the prices were back then. You know,
yeah.
So it was usually about $15 to $20 for an adult to you know, have fun in the Magic Kingdom.
Well, we've got our next caller on the line from Atlanta.
Cell phone's from Atlanta. We're in Minnesota.
Oh.
Not even close, man.
Minnesota, eh? Land of Van. How are you?
Yeah, a little deception. How are you guys doing?
Good, good, good. What's on your mind today?
Well, we are coming down in April, and mm-hmm. we're coming in on an evening where we're not going to go to our Disney resort yet. We're going to stay off-site. We're considering, like, a hotel near the airport where we might be able to get a shuttle. Can we take Magical Express the next morning if we take a shuttle back to the airport? Are they going to let us get on it then to go to a Disney resort?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay. Awesome.
You're going to bring your bags, right? You're going to walk your bags back and
forth? Yeah, we're going to do our bags.
Yeah. Cool. What hotel are you thinking of around the airport?
We have Holiday Inn points, and so we're going to use them however we can.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
If we wanted to, there's a Holiday Inn close to Disney property, right, in the downtown Disney area?
Yeah, the shower there is actually pretty good, the one in downtown Disney. But at that point, you don't need to, I wouldn't go back to
to
catch Magical Express. No, it's just a Holiday Inn, so the rooms aren't great, but the shower is actually one of the better showers in the downtown Disney resorts. It's probably the first or second place that I would stay in downtown Disney, in the downtown Disney resort, if I wasn't staying at Disney. That's not, if you've got points, that's a good choice.
We were also considering maybe renting a car for that night and getting some groceries at like a Publix or something like that.
Yeah.
If we go to we're staying at the Fort Wilderness Cabins.
Mm-hmm.
If we go there, give them our bags and want to go to a park and they're not ready to give us a cabin yet, will they hold on to our food? Some of it's cold food? Will they refrigerate it? Do you know how they'll accommodate us in that aspect?
Refrigerate, no. But they will hold on to your stuff for you.
Luggage, yeah. Yeah.
What time are you getting in?
We're coming in on a Friday in the evening at I think it's 3 in the afternoon.
Okay. And so the next day you're going to go to Publix.
Yep. Or that night. We figure, I don't know if that Holiday Inn has a little fridge or not, but it would at least be able to keep certain things cold for a while.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to give you a. You could get a styrofoam cooler if you're going to Publix. Or,
yeah, that's kind of something else we were considering too.
Yeah, I mean it's like $5.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe $7, whatever. Yeah, the money you're saving at Publix. By the way, if you do get to Publix, I don't know if you like cream soda. Publix cream soda is like the best fizzy liquid in the world.
I hear they call it sarsaparilla now.
No. that's progress for you, Matt. nice.
Cool.
Has anyone seen the new Hoop-Dee-Doo? I understand, I don't want to say new, but they've changed a lot of the songs and things due to copyright things. Is it still worth doing? We've never done it before.
I haven't heard that.
I heard rumors, but I have not seen it recently, no.
I saw it in July or August, I forget. I think it was August, and it seemed a little bit the same as what I recall, maybe a little bit shorter show, but the same jokes were there, same songs.
Okay.
Sir Owen Disney says the first song changed.
First song, Hoop-Dee-Doo. Yeah, maybe that.
That's kind of the signature song, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
Isn't it underrated?
Anyway.
Yeah, I have to go see it again. Research.
Yeah, exactly.
What is creepy? Seeing all the birds in Frontale and eating turkey legs. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nasty too, those birds.
I had one more question about fast passes.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had heard some kind of talk, I guess, late in the summer that people were starting to enforce return times or at least warn you. Is that continued? Are we still going to be able to use fast passes outside the window as we've done in the past?
Yeah, they're not enforcing it. I heard a rumor too. I heard they were testing it for as part of like the X-Pass stuff that's coming up, but I think Disney just has so many operational difficulties doing something like that. I don't see them ever doing it. I think it'd be really, really, really difficult for them to do that.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Well, thanks for everything, guys. Really enjoy listening to you every week, and hope you all have happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thanks. Tip.
We have another call right on the line. Hi, who are we with?
Who are we talking with?
This is Fernando from Miami, but living in Tampa. How are you doing, Matt?
Hey, Fernando. How are you?
Good, and you?
Outstanding.
All right. Hey, so man, I thought you guys were joking. Is the 1,000th episode is the last one, huh?
If you can't do it in 1,000 episodes, Fernando, it's not going to get done.
Fernando, can you come up with more than 1,000 podcast openings? I mean, I'm running out of podcast openings.
There aren't that many lines. He's actually gone through every line.
Let's put it this way. If Matt had to do all the editing, he'd want to cancel it too.
Well, what if something big happens? You know what I mean? Would you guys like put a podcast? Because
yeah, we can come up with the occasional podcast and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying delete the feed from iTunes, but, you know.
Fernando, I'm just telling you, buddy, don't lose too much sleep over
tonight
it.
Tonight on a very special WDW Today.
Exactly. Can we get Barbie Benton on?
We take you back.
Oh, man. And then I wanted to ask you guys, were you guys in the park on Saturday the 10th by any chance?
Yes, we were in
Kingdom.
No, you were?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see all the Uncle Sam hats and all the Statue of Liberty crowns?
We're coming back. We're going to be there for New Year's.
Oh, you know, I was there celebrating my graduation.
Oh, congratulations.
I was there with my... Yeah, thank you. And I was like, oh, man, I hope I see the gang. I hope I see them all there. And I kept my eyes
10 o'clock
like,
we were there? 10 to 12, I think we were there.
Yeah,
I can honestly say you couldn't have missed us.
that was
some crowd, let me tell you.
Oh man, I don't know how I missed you guys. All right, well,
we'll all be there in March, Fernando, for the 1,000th episode.
For one last hurrah.
One last hurrah.
Bring your tissues.
Torturing this kid.
It's going to be a very emotional weekend.
Oh man! All right. Well, hopefully I can make it out there if I can get a job.
What are you doing for New Year's, Fernando?
I'm actually going to Virginia.
Really? What's in Virginia?
His family has a house up in Virginia, but like in the backwoods. And we decided let's do that. Every year it always happens that we have nothing to do.
Country roads.
Thanks, Fernando.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot, guys, for everything. Thank you.
Congratulations.
So I got the theme song for the 1,000th show. I thought I'd share with you.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Memories.
Brian's song.
I'm gonna miss you guys.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Joe Carter. How you doing?
Joe!
Let me just say right now.
What's up, Roomie?
You, sir, are my favorite listener of all time.
What's up, Roomie?
You're my favorite podcaster of all time.
Hey, boo.
Hey, who pulled your number out? Hey.
The people around you were like, woo! Joe's like, ah, man.
I didn't have much of a voice or anything, so I was kind of like in shock, and I couldn't really yell or anything. So
I think your fiance, Joe, was a little disappointed. She's like, all right, this is the last trip we have to take to Walt Disney World, and then we can go to the beach finally.
Or not. Or?
Nah.
Poor Melissa.
Hey, I just got to put out all that stuff to rest, you know? You guys can't only do 1,000 episodes.
Tell them about the stickers you made, man.
So we made Occupied Stupid Duty stickers for everybody that wanted one. There were some people that actually didn't want one, but Matt's wife and Mike Newell's wife was not one of them, as odd as that sounds.
Not accepting those stickers is distinctly un-American.
Well, the funny thing was, I was going to Epcot one day, and I was wearing the sticker, and the security person said, "What is this Occupy Stupid Judy? Because I've seen it everywhere." Yeah, these guys, they do a podcast. They're quitting after 1,000 episodes. We don't want them to quit. We're like, oh, I got it.
Hey, we missed the boat.
You believe in it.
We should have had a Universe of Energy meeting where all those Occupy Stupid Judy tickets.
Oh, yes, yes. There would have been a... Everyone kept asking me about that. Well, only a few people. Actually, the link I'm posting right now in the chat room is of Judy from Fantasia Gardens, who was very upset about us occupying her.
Fantasia Gardens?
That's
he
awesome.
Was like, I don't think I can sell it. I don't think you can play here because
that's Judy.
Oh, oh my God. Roz.
Oh my Judy. Goodness. I had to scroll down for a minute.
That's awesome.
Why?
I didn't realize. I didn't see the whole picture.
That's Judy.
But no, I just want to thank everyone. I mean, for everything. I mean, it was absolutely awesome, and I can't wait till the 1,000th episode, and then reunion next year, because that's obviously got to happen.
Because at that point it'll be like 9 months since we've seen each other.
Yeah, that's it's true.
Wow.
I don't know what we'll do.
Joe's doing the princess though, aren't you, Joe?
I'm thinking about doing it. I'm 99% sure I'm going to be there for the 1,000th, and then and also do the princess. I'm sort of practicing, getting ready.
Did one run with me today though, huh? You were up here.
No, I know. So I was like 5 degrees outside. I wasn't going outside. That was
a cake.
It was nice and somewhat warm where I was. It was like 55 degrees in the house or something. I guess that's warm for.
Did you leave a window open? What?
No, they just they didn't have the fire on. Melissa's waving and says hi.
Hey, Melissa.
It just was very cold. I don't know. They don't believe in heat apparently in New Hampshire. They just go with the flow. But it was actually really relaxing to be up there. And it was really beautiful flying in and seeing like all the landscaping and everything up there. Because last year we drove up there and it was something I won't be doing again now that I flew for $39 each way.
Yeah, it's a hike, man.
Nice. So reunion was absolutely awesome. Occupy Stupid Judy apparently worked, I think. I like to think it did. Can't say it didn't.
It was great. Awesome. Well, thank you, Joe, for all your help. Really appreciate it, man. You helped make a lot of people laugh at reunion, including me.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, that's great. No, thank you. And congratulations on the soon-to-be 1,000 episodes. So,
thank you,
Joe. Have a great night, guys.
And keep in touch about the trip.
Tell Melissa we said hi.
Have a good winter.
We have our next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hey, this is CJ in Miami.
Hey, CJ.
Thanks for reunion. I was only able to go to one event, the Occupy. What am I talking about? I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Carousel of Progress.
Your favorite meet.
Carousel of Progress. Excellent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you need to post the script.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah, I'll throw it online, yeah.
My question is, I'm doing my daughter's graduation trip, and we're going to Aulani, and then we're going to Disneyland for 4 days.
Cool. When are you going? Day,
it's end of June, we'll be at Disneyland first week in July.
Dude, I'm going to be in Aulani.
Well, we'll have to meet up.
Sweet.
When? I'm going the 28th through like the 4th, 5th, something like that.
They're June 30th to July 10th or 11th.
Well, get the credit card and you can buy dinner.
I'll bring a credit card. How's that?
Yeah, I'll bring one too. Awesome. My question is Disneyland. I am getting the unofficial guide for Disneyland. But and I'm not worried so much about the rides because I'm going to be there 4 days. But where do I eat? Other than Napa Rose, there's a lot of places that, I'm looking at, like, do I go to Blue Bayou or do I go to Carnation Cafe? So any suggestions?
Oh, good question. Oh, man. So the interesting thing about Disneyland is, with few exceptions, there aren't many bad places in the park. And I think it has to do with the fact that there's so much competition literally like half a mile away outside of Disneyland that the food there has to be good. I really like Carnation Cafe in the morning for breakfast. They've got like like an egg, potato, biscuit, waffle thing for like, you know, $12. That's better than what you're going to get at Denny's. There's nothing wrong with Denny's, but this is in the park. That's not bad. I didn't love Blue Bayou. I think it's fine.
I've heard really bad or mediocre reviews about it.
It's average. But like I think the counter service in Disneyland is consistently better than the counter service in World. Napa Rose is something special. If you get a chance, you're going to go in July, so it's going to be warm. But there's
Miami.
It's true.
I'm used to warm.
Yeah, it's true. You already have reservations for Napa Rose?
I haven't got any reservations yet.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm waiting for the guide to come so I can, decide what I want to do.
Napa Rose is good. I like it better than Steakhouse 55. What are some other sit down places? So in Downtown Disney, Catal is a Spanish place that they have. Scopa, you and I ate there.
Yep.
I really like that quite a bit. In fact, I've been there many times. They do. Do you like paella, CJ?
I do. My daughter's a vegetarian.
They do. They'll do veggie paella for you.
Okay.
So I like all the appetizers there are really good. The entrees there are really good. I really like Catal quite a bit. Where else did we eat when we were in Disneyland?
Well, I think you were starting to talk about Napa Rose, and you were going to tell them about that place we ate outside.
Yeah, so there's actually a little smoking area out back. CJ, there's a fire pit.
Okay.
The thing is, it's California, so nobody smokes there anymore. So you can actually sit there in rocking chairs, put your feet up around the fire, and they'll bring you anything you want off the menu, and there's literally no one around you most of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. I heard the chef's table was pretty cool, too.
The chef's table is actually in fact, I think those two things are the two best experiences. The chef's table are really interesting because you're actually looking at the guys as they create the meals. And the interesting thing about that is, you'd think that with the number of meals that they're preparing in any night, that it would just be this hot bit of activity, right? People running around everywhere, lettuce leaves flying around. It is this calm. I mean, it's like a dentist's office. You're working there. It's relatively quiet. Everyone's really efficient. And I think it's because they all know what they're doing.
Right.
And they all do it so well that there's no drama.
Well, it kind of reminds me of like California Grill, because you can see the kitchen there and they're all like, pretty chill about, okay, get this up and out. No problem. It's done.
Yeah. Everyone, they're moving with purpose. But they're not like running around or anything. It was really interesting. Yeah.
One last question. I did the Diamond Horseshoe review when they were serving food and they had the show and all of that. Do they still do that at Golden Horseshoe? And is it worth doing?
So they in Disneyland, yeah, definitely. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
definitely do the show and the meal if you can, because two birds with one stone. It's Billy Hill and the Hillbillies, right? At Disneyland. Ah, oh, so funny!
Yeah, Sam Genoway took us to see it.
We
stood there. It's packed too. You have to get. It's very hard to get a seat in there. It's so packed.
So can I get a reservation there, or is it like you just go and sign up?
First come, first serve. I think
first come. Yeah. Okay. See, if you get a chance, find Sam Genoway's blog. I think it's you can Google it. But if Sam's in the park and if Sam's got time. And he happens to be in the park when you're there. Just walking around with him for 15 minutes is a hoot. He's also got a book out, Walt and Progress City. It's a great book on sort of the history of Disneyland and how it evolved into Epcot. But send Sam an email. If he happens to be in the parks, meet up with him and let him walk you through one of the lands. It's really, really interesting to see his take on that park.
Okay, Carsland should be open by then, so clouds are going to be high.
Yeah, yes. Bring your sunscreen.
Yeah, Jesus. I know you're from Miami, but dude, bring some water.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, one final. La Brea Bakery, I heard that was pretty good.
Is it closed?
It's in downtown Disney. Is it closed?
Oh, no, the bakery. Sorry. Yeah, dude, for breakfast. It's another great place for breakfast. Yeah.
So
the
Carnation
place. But La Brea is, I was thinking of the place in California Adventure. It's really good for sit-down breakfast. I mean, again, the basic stuff, the plates that you get, the eggs, the bacon, the potatoes and stuff like that. Fantastic. I love going there. It's our go-to place every morning for breakfast before the park opens. Yeah, really, really good.
If
you go in, the service is a little slow. If you actually go in and go through, like, you know, they have like a counter service place where you kind of line up and you walk through and you tell them what you want, and then they bring it, they give it to you like over the counter. That's a little slow in the mornings. Given the choice, I'd rather do the sit down. They do like a little outdoor seating area. That's that's much more fun.
Okay. Okay, cool. I'll send you a PM to give you my number when and where I'm going to be staying. Maybe we'll get together and have a good meal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be I've only been to Hawaii once, so that'll be fun.
Well, this is the first time. We're going to do a little scuba diving beforehand, and then spend a week in Aulani.
Cool, good.
And then head to Disneyland.
The jet lag is tough, but you know, both East Coasters will go through it.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thanks. And thanks for reunion and the Carousel of Progress meet. I got it right this time.
Yay. Awesome.
Aloha.
All right. Bye. Take care. Have a great night.
Hey, Matt, before we go to the next call, I got a little surprise for Len that I wanted to play.
Oh?
Yeah. Ooh. You recorded it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's awesome.
You just got to hear the crowd the first couple of lines, Matt. Then we'll go to the next call.
Yeah.
At the end of every day, there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.
Yeah, it looks like the Robins are getting ready to celebrate Valentine's Day today. What year is it? Oh, right around the turn of the century. And believe me, things couldn't be any better than they are today. Yes, sir, buildings are towering now as high as 20 stories. Moving pictures flicker up on six streets. We have almost 8,000 automobiles in this country, and we can travel by train from New York to California in less than 7 days. I even hear tell about the we're working on some kind of flying contract.
You can hear Newell and I cackle in the background.
We've now got gas lamps, a telephone, and the latest design in cast iron stoves. And that reservoir keeps 5 gallons of water hot and just 3 buckets of coal. Oh, boy, it sure beats chopping wood. Yes, sir, we've got everything we need to make life easier.
Like a wife.
Say, mother.
Like a wife.
Like a wife.
It's just classic.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Hopefully the audio is good enough, we can put that out somewhere.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think your daughter had the best time with the dogs, though. My God.
Oh, my God. My daughter thought the dog was real the whole time. Dog? Dog? Dog?
And you hear her on the recording going, dog? Dog? Dog?
Dog? Dog?
Woof, woof. Oh, it was so cute. A lot of fun.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and still plenty of time to get your calls in on this December live show. Let's get things rolling with our next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, it's John from Farmington. How you doing?
Hey, John.
John.
Hey, John.
I'm helping my friend Lisa plan a trip, and I got a quick question. There's a big party, and they're all going to head over to Hoop-De-Doo, I think, for the early seating. And three of them didn't make the reservation in time. They're not in. So I'm wondering, should they go over with them? Is there a chance that they can get in?
Yeah.
And if they get shut out, what do you recommend that they would do?
You'll be fine. So the deal with most Disney reservations, and I think it's true for Hoop-De-Doo, as long as your name is in the system, Disney will do whatever they can to seat your party.
Right.
It's when you don't have a reservation that you're out of luck. But a couple extra people, they could do something as simple as just pulling up some extra chairs. You'll be fine.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, no problem, man. Don't even worry about it.
All right. In the chance that they do get shut out, what do you recommend in that area? Is there anything that they can do to kill a couple hours?
There's the bar next door, but you're not going to have any trouble getting in. You know, you could actually make friends with people. If there are odd seats at a table, you know, you could do that too. That's what I would try and do. You know, offer to buy somebody a drink and let them sit at your table. Do that. Pretend it's German, you know, the Oktoberfest, and you're sitting in beer garden.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Cool. By the way, I think somebody coined a new phrase for this on Twitter. When you show up with more people than your reservation is, it's called testa bombing.
Is that what that means? That's awesome.
Which I love it.
I saw that earlier. Yeah.
It's ADR for one, show up with 12.
Funny.
I like it. I like that term. What's
love it. Testa bombing.
Yeah, someone that needs to add that to the inside jokes on WWE Today. I love that.
I love it.
407-278-5939. Testa bombing. 407-278-5939, our phone number, and still time to get your calls in here about maybe your 2012 trip to Walt Disney World that you're looking forward to already. Maybe you're even looking forward. We already had a call about New Year's Eve. If you're going down for Christmas or New Year's Eve, and you know, share with us some of your plans, some of your thoughts on where you're going, and you know, we'd love to hear from our listeners as always. And our chat room is still open, of course. You can join us there, view our video. Live.wdwtoday.com is the URL that you can get all that from, and lots of good discussion going on there, and including lots of discussion about testa bombing, which now I know what that means. I can already see Joe making a sticker now.
Occupy testa bombing.
407-278-5939 is the phone number for our show, and yeah, so a reunion. Oh, I asked earlier, Len and Scopa, the memories that stuck out for them. Noel, what's a memory that stuck out for you for reunion 2011?
My favorite was walking into the Magic Kingdom and walking towards Tomorrowland and seeing this humongous mass of people and going, who else is going to be here besides us? And then looking at all the Uncle Sam hats and the Statue of Liberty crowns. I just started cracking up right there. I almost didn't make it to the event. I was laughing so hard. That was so much fun.
It was an amazing number of people.
I honestly, and Matt had said that was going to be really well attended by the RSVPs we were getting for that.
Yeah.
I had no idea it would be that well received. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Actually, the one set up for me was naturally at Hollywood Studios. And the Great Movie Ride meet, where we all got everyone in the vehicle. We filled up an entire vehicle and then some. But our entire vehicle when the bandit left the vehicle to go get the gem and we all yelled, "It's a trap."
Wait. It was great. Yeah, I have the audio of that too. Hold on. This is it. It's classic.
I'm ready. Hello. It's time to stake my claim. And don't none of you hombres move while I'm fetching that treasure. Bless you on a belly full of lead. Say my sister.
It's a trap!
The truth is great. And those who fear night.
Well, we've got Lori from Chicago on the line. Hey, Lori.
Lori.
I'm really the Statue of Liberty. You can ask Mr. Newell.
I've got video of that, too. It's on Facebook. Did you see this, Len?
No.
So we're walking through. We're right across from the Tomorrowland Raceway, and yeah. Push comes around and sees Laurie dressed up as the Statue of Liberty, starts singing. It was classic. I'm sitting there, Taven, I'm cracking up, and he's going, "Yay, Statue of Liberty! Yay!"
Not only was Newell filming me, but the photo pass photographer took a photo of me, gave me a photo pass. So, yeah, I didn't redeem it, but I thought that was pretty funny.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Oh, man, that was so much fun.
I got Newell to pretend to wear the headpiece on Space Mountain.
Oh, that yeah.
Would have been a fun photo if we actually bought it, though, because yeah. It made it look like he was actually wearing it during the ride.
It's funny because they make you, like, you can't take a picture of the screen anymore. They put this text in front of it, so it blocked the whole thing. Yeah.
Sad.
But it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I actually got back from Disney 2 days ago, 2 nights ago, actually. So I spent time after the reunion sort of decompressing from all the running around we did during reunion. And I had a good time. I have to say thank you to Len for buying us drinks at La Cava del Tequila.
That was fun, wasn't it? What event did we do first? Some of All Thrills. And then we had an hour or so to kill before our American Adventure meet. So between, obviously, Inventions East and the American Adventure, you have to walk by Mexico, don't you?
Yeah,
I don't know who scheduled this, but it was brilliant. So we decided to do a little thing over at La Cava, and what, like 15, 16 people?
The whole entire table area was all filled with people, and more people were coming in.
Yeah, so there's that. We had the whole thing for La Cava. So I show up, or we show up with almost 24 people, and Hilda comes out and says hi. Javier comes out and says hi. And so what I wanted to do was show everybody kind of a little synopsis of what we did during Food and Wine. So during Food and Wine, the guys at La Cava did this tequila pairing where they did a Blanco, a Reposada, and an Añejo. So a clear, a slightly aged, and then a very aged tequila. And they paired it with food. So we did the same thing with two tequilas, actually, with a clear, a Blanco, and an Añejo, which was the Cuervo Reserva de la Familia tequila, my personal favorite, the one that I drink a lot. So I ordered appetizers and food for essentially everybody in La Cava, and then I bought everybody two shots, one of a Blanco, which was a Partido, and then the Reserva de la Familia, so they could see what an unaged and an aged tequila was like. It was a lot of fun. It was interesting to see everybody's reaction. What did you think about the aged tequila?
Oh, we lost Laura. Her phone cut out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think we'll get her in a second. We've got another call that went on the line. Laura can share her thoughts. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Yeah, it's Joe again.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I just wanted to give Len and Mike a chance, Scopa, to talk about their two awesome meets that I got to be a part of, which was the Boardwalk Run and the Tesla Touring Plan.
Go ahead.
Yours went first, Lance. Why don't you do yours first?
So we did it. This was actually David Davies' idea. He's one of the TouringPlans.com team people. His idea was get everybody together, give them like 10 or 15 different touring plans, so organize people into groups, and have them each do a touring plan one morning in the Magic Kingdom. So on Saturday, we did this. David did a great job of organizing this and publicizing it. We had about 60 people show up. And beforehand, the entire team had got together at my hotel room, and we had bought Clif bars and Luna bars and chocolate, and we did little morning breakfast baggies for everyone. We had a neat little assembly line thing going, so we got like 80 or 90 bags done in a matter of minutes. But so when people showed up that morning, we gave them a clipboard with their touring plan to test. We gave them a little baggie of food. And we gave them instructions on what to do. And essentially, everybody had the same 10 attractions to do. They all started at 8 o'clock in the morning for the Magic Kingdom. Everyone had a slightly different version of a touring plan. And the idea was to see which touring plan worked best. It worked out really well. Magic Kingdom wasn't very crowded at 8 o'clock. So almost everyone was done by 10 a.m., which was in time for the Carousel of Progress meet. It was organized really, really well. I was very happy with it. David did a great job on it.
Scopa.
Okay, so everyone, I would guess, knows that while we were doing reunion, at the same time, All Ears was celebrating its 15th year anniversary. So we were doing December to Remember. So I was doing double duty. And on the morning after the five-hour Delights and Desserts meet, which I think I left the studios at 12:40 a.m., the next morning... my co-captain on Team All Ears, Michelle Scribner-McLean, and I were hosting a 7 a.m. run from the boardwalk to the studios and back. And Joe and Paul were there Paul was visiting with Joe, as well as Joe's fiance Melissa, and but she wasn't there. She was a smart one. She was sleeping, I guess, while we were running. So a bunch of us, we met at the boardwalk, and we ran to the studios and back. Although I think Joe, you guys turned around in the front of the studios, and a couple of us, we went to the back of the studios, really to the main entrance and back. And that was the beginning of a very tiring day for me at Sunday, because Saturday was a very long day, and it was quite a run. And one of the things that I remember, Joe, it took us forever to get anything from the Boardwalk Bakery. It was just packed, just waiting in line to get in there. But that was a fun run, and it was good to get a run. And it's always nice to run along the boardwalk and down towards the studios and back. I think it's a really nice it's one of the nicer places to run while you're down there.
Cool. Next phone call is from Ed from Pennsylvania. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm
really glad to get through this evening. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get in under the wire.
Absolutely, you're in. What's on your mind tonight?
A couple of quick questions. I'm taking our family down. There's going to be 13 of us heading after Thanksgiving next year. It's actually going to be Saturday after Thanksgiving and staying through the December 1st. We're going to be at the Beach Club Villas. We're going to be renting three studios. Now, we stayed at the villas once before, and we really like it. The only thing is, we were on the ground floor, and I was wondering, there are no real good views from the villas, but what do you guys recommend as let's say a better view? And I'm assuming it's probably going to be up somewhere, not in the ground. Maybe third or fourth level or something. Do you have any recommendations there that I might try to get?
Len, any recommendations?
At the beach club.
At the villa, the beach club villas. I know there's nothing that's really good.
The only thing I would recommend is if you could face the rooms facing south towards Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
tend to overlook a wooded area that a lot of people find more attractive and quieter than the other rooms. If you could do that, that would be an option.
And would you say like third, or what level should we try to get?
It's up to you. I think the bottom floors have patios.
Yeah.
I like top floors just because of views.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Because we were in the patio before. It was convenient, the elevators. Just kind of lacking something with the veranda a little bit, just to be able to step out. And
I'd rather be at a higher up. So, upper floor, south-facing room, that might be the request that you put in with Disney when you make or update the reservation. That's an idea.
What's the best time to try to get these recommendations in? Do you have a strategy?
Matt...
Yes,
Marissa knows this, but I think it's Disney CRO, Central Reservation, hands over the reservation to the resort. Is it 5 days before check-in?
Yeah, 3 to 5 days. About five is usually correct.
Yeah, so if you want to call, 3, 4, 5 days out, Ed,
mm-hmm.
and just verify that that's your request. That's usually when they start assigning rooms to people who are definitely showing up. I would say that's call 5 days out and see what happens.
Yeah, Sarah in our chat room says it's 5 days.
Five. Okay.
I thought it was five. Yeah.
Should call directly. To the hotel.
Oh yeah. Good point. Yeah. Call the resort directly.
Yeah. Don't call 407 W Disney. Call the resort directly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, that sounds like good advice. Oh, and one other thing, is there a laundry, kind of a public type laundry? I know there's no laundry facilities in the studios per se. There are in the one and two bedroom units, but is there a laundry for
definitely.
All the resorts have laundry services. I mean, if they don't have in the room, there's a laundry area. Like even Pop Century has a laundry area.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, you'd be able to do that.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any idea where that is, or is there one per floor?
It's usually by the main pool or a quiet pool.
Okay. Yeah.
So my guess is it's somewhere around Stormalong Bay, probably in the back.
Yes, sir. Irwin Disney says by the pools. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Park Hopper Rich has laundry near pools. Wash and swim.
Wash and swim. Awesome.
I caught the tail end of your last call too about running in that, you know, the beach club area in the boardwalk area. And I'm a runner myself, and running to the studios, I think, is a great morning run. I'll second all the comments that were made on the previous call.
Cool.
I think that's one of the prettiest runs that I'm able to
it's
get.
It's not bad.
But, you know, Matt, it's best to run if you go down during Food and Wine and you get up real early before the sun comes up, maybe an hour and a half before sunrise, run to the studios, run past the entrance, run past the area where the guard will check your baggage if you're walking from the parking lot, run past where the cast members go in, and after you pass that entrance, take a right, and you go all the way down, and you might be able to see the Osborne lights up and running in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something to think about. Yeah.
That whole 7 a.m. thing kind of throw me off there.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, because I usually get out about, you know, 6:30, something like that. Right. So I prefer to get out early and get back before everybody else is up. So.
Cool. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks. Great night, and I appreciate the advice, and really enjoy you guys listening to you all the time.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks very much.
Bye. Thanks, Ed. Good luck, man.
I think the last call of the day is going to be on the line with us. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, my name is Emily Roach. I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama.
Hey, Emily.
And I'm sitting in the Five Guys right now.
Nice.
Are you really? I love a Five Guys.
I've never had Five Guys.
I couldn't be at home to listen, but I had some stuff I needed to talk to you about because I don't think you're going to do another live show before we go to Disney World.
Sweet.
So I have a question. Okay, we're staying at Pop.
Yep.
I am planning a trip. We're taking 22 people. We have grandparents all the way down to babies. 22.
When are you going, Emily?
January 22nd through 28th.
Can you fit 23?
Yeah, really. Mike, you won't even know. Show up.
I'll blend in.
Yeah, we would know. You're welcome to come, but you're going to have to hold a baby. So we're staying at Pop. And the thought of taking, because we have 9 children all together, so the thought of, you know, getting, not all of them have to have a stroller, but a lot of them do, of taking a stroller on a bus worries me a little bit. And so I'm thinking, that time of year, what if we drove to the TTC and then got on the monorail to the Magic Kingdom? Would that be a better option, or do you think we should just get on the bus anyway at Pop and ride to the Magic Kingdom?
How many strollers you bring?
Well, I mean, our children are, the oldest will be 7. You know, we'll have at least 3. A couple of those might be double.
Nah, you'll be
double
fine.
Strollers.
Yeah, you'll be fine. With 22 people, you're gonna take up half the bus.
Right. Well, there's no way I'll be getting ready at the same time and getting on the same bus.
It's true.
We'll hope so.
Yeah,
so you still think I should do the bus?
Yeah, it's too much of a hassle. And then the transportation, especially the Magic Kingdom, Disney transportation is so much faster than the bus.
Okay.
Sorry, than the monorail or boat. Sorry.
Good deal. Okay. The other thing is, I'm hoping that some of you guys that might be local or have local friends to the Disney area might could do me a little favor. I have a little friend who's 3 years old. She's very, very sick right now. She's in the hospital, in Children's Hospital in Birmingham. Mm. She loves Tinkerbell. And I was hoping we might get somebody to do a video, you know, go and talk to Tinkerbell and get her to, you know, speak to her and tell her Merry Christmas and hope she gets well soon and all that kind of thing. And then we could watch it, you know, YouTube and stuff and show it to her because her mama has been telling her, "But girl, when you get better, we're going to Disney World."
Yeah.
So, do y'all think y'all might be willing to, you know, have anybody on there that would do that, or can we just shout that out?
Yeah, send me an email, Emily. I know exactly who will do it for you.
I got a
good deal.
Another idea, Emily, is you can also post it on the WWF Day Facebook group. And there's lots of great people on there that you can maybe crowdsource the option to, and they can help you out with that.
That is awesome, Nas. Thank you so much. And, I mean, this would just be wonderful for her to get to sit there and,
like I said, Emily, watch that on. DizTor Reviews in our chat room says that she, I think it's a she, will do it. She or she. Yeah, she will do it.
Okay, tell me her name again.
It, on the chat room, it's DizTor Reviews, like D-I-S-T-O-U-R Reviews.
Reviews, got it. I'll find her, and she was in your chat room, right?
That's right.
Okay.
See, I saw it.
Hey, it's, I am Mommy Mama on Twitter, if you can find me.
There you go.
You
go
guys can it. Can find. Go but again, send me an email, and we'll.
I will.
Have I ever told?
Thank this? You.
You're very Sir? Welcome. No, you're very welcome. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all I have. Merry Christmas, and see anybody's around in January. We'll see you then. We'll be the stroller parade.
Cool. Thanks, Emily.
Welcome,
awesome.
Thanks.
So,
all right, God, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I don't know if I've ever told the story of Blanky. Have you ever told that story?
Yeah, I remember the whole thing with Darcy trying to go get it.
Yeah. So Darcy, I thought. By the way, I think Disney Tour Reviews is Lindsay. And she'd be happy to do it. But so for those of you who haven't listened to it, so a few years ago, and I know this is the last call of the night. A few years ago, we got this email to the unofficial guide who said there's this family from Chicago that had visited the Grand Floridian Resort, and their daughter had lost her favorite blanket in Walt Disney World. And they called Disney Lost and Found, but they couldn't do anything about it. So they called us to see if there's anything we could do. We checked with Disney. We actually got we went to Lost and Found at the Magic Kingdom. We went to Lost and Found at the Grand Floridian. We actually ended up talking to the people who ran the laundry facilities. We couldn't find it. But the thing that we ended up doing was we bought another a blanket for the family, exactly like the one that they had lost. But instead of just sending it back to the family, we took the blanket on a tour of Walt Disney World, and we took pictures of it on the tour. So Darcy was the person that did this. Darcy from our team was the one that did it. So we got pictures of the blanket meeting Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, Darcy's having to walk this blanket around, you know, to visit people. So Darcy's in her early 20s. She's carrying around this blanket and asking people to say hi to it, you know, on film. So we could come up with a scrapbook for the family. And Mary Waring from Mousesavers happened to be staying at the Polynesian, so she let us borrow her room key so we could get a picture of the blanket in the hot tub at the Polynesian, you know, doing its vacation. It was hysterical. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, the family loved it. They still talk about it.
Funny. Well, a great way to end our show, I think. So thank you, Emily, for that. And thank you for all our listeners. We had a great live show. And, of course, we want to thank our sponsor, touringplans.com. And, hey, touringplans.com is the is a great resource for you've heard us talk about how to great way to get around Walt Disney World. Because, you know, again, you're planning your trips to Walt Disney World, and you're envisioning, yeah, we're going to do Soarin', and then Test Track, and Mission Space, and then we're going to go over to Maelstrom. And, you know, that's a great idea, except in reality, you're going to do all that, but you're going to wait in long lines. And no one likes thinking about that. But touringplans.com has the answer to all that. You can see all the attractions you want to see without waiting in line. That's right. They have the resources to help you navigate around those crowds, see everything you want to see without waiting. It's that simple. Check them out right now at touringplans.com. And if you'd like to find our older episodes, read our shows, or send us your comments, you can, of course, visit us at wdwtoday.com. I want to thank all of our awesome callers, our listeners, people in our chat room. You guys rock for making the show a lot more interesting. Woo! And, of course, to our panelists, Mike Newell, Mike Scopa, and Len Testa. I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on our next live WWE Today show in 2012. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, guys.
Happy Festivus for the rest of us.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.